desire and interest in your prayers this morning. My heart is full, and I would appreciate your prayer that the Lord would help me deliver this message to His glory. I've written on the board two words, but God. And that's my message this morning, is but. Nevertheless, however, even though God. God is our power and our strength and who we put our trust in. I'd like to read a passage out of the 23rd chapter of Luke. Maybe five verses. Luke 23 and 39 says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. On this dreadful, wonderful, horrific day, there was a thief and his cross. And for his life, opportunity for good, opportunity for something positive to happen in life, had seemingly run out. You ever felt that way in life? I've never been on a cross. I hope I'm never have to be on a cross like this, but I've been in places in life where it felt like that opportunity for good and for something positive to turn out of the situation had come and gone. Here was a thief, someone who had done wrong, someone that was guilty, someone that was unrighteous, and he had been caught. You ever been guilty? You ever done wrong? Is anyone here perfectly righteous in all areas of your life, seen and unseen areas of your life? There was a Roman cross, I suppose one of the most dreaded ways to have your life ended. Humiliating, they had perfected the art of inflicting pain to achieve a slow death. Sometimes people hung on the cross for a long time, days. It seemed like that there was no more opportunity to turn a situation, this situation, into good. Because, you see, here's the thing. There was no there was no space or time that separated the thief from the cross of death. You see what I'm saying? There was no more time or space in between the thief and the cross, because they were attached at that point. They were attached. And it seemed to our eyes that there was no way that the thief could get away from what he was attached to. Something that was intended, something that brought the promise of the end in a very non-positive way. It's final. Not good. Maybe a less intense example. Have you ever taken a test of consequence? And you were giving it your all. You were concentrating and you were involved with trying to do it all just right. And then you hear those words, time's up, turn your papers over, pencils down, done. Turn it over. You over back there, put your pencil down, turn your paper over. Maybe you were that person. Time is up. Whatever is there is there. That's it. And you know, really, that represents in a lot of ways seasons of our lives. Maybe more subtly, but perhaps more significant. We find ourselves in those places as we live life. You know, childhood and youth can seem like that it is going to just go on and on and on. You're always going to be the young one, and there's always the older people in the room. I still remember the day I looked around the room. I'd always thought I was the youngest at work. I was always the youngest. And one day I looked around and I realized something's different than what it used to be. I'm not the youngest anymore. In fact, I've been here longer than most people that are in here. Youth and time of strength and what feels like opportunity that's always out there to be had is there until it's not. And then it's gone. And there's no more time or space in between you and the next season of life that doesn't include youth and strength and strong knees. School can seem like it goes forever. Seems like it never is going to end. Young folks, children, school will end one of these days. And you wake up one day and you're out of formal school. Informal school never ends. But you're out and you can't do it over. It's good to apply yourself today. Season that you're in, because there'll come a time where there's no more time and space that separates you from what comes after school. Sometimes mothers and children, crying babies and changing diapers, seems like that's your lot for the rest of your life, is to change diapers and get up in the middle of the night to attend to little ones that need help. Till one day, no one cries your name anymore in your house. And that season of life is done and it's over with. And you don't have it to do over again. However you did it, seems like that the outcome, the consequence is set. You move to the next. And you know, life is like that in whole. We live our lives and all we know is life. And then one day we realize that there's more behind us than there is in front of us. And the time and the space and the opportunity that you have to live life is closing. and the consequences that are associated with how you used time and opportunity. It seems like that they're becoming more and more set. There's times that sometimes we feel like that we have more time, but we have no more space or opportunity. You ever been there? It's like, I have time. If I could only, but the window of opportunities passed. And we're not able to affect anything anymore. See, our lives function largely with time and space and opportunity. And without them, well, often we feel like we're at a dead end. Our lives work that way. We're given space. And our lives are around the space that we're given. Perhaps seasons of life, perhaps life itself. We're given space and time, and time goes through space. Time. You with me so far? And it seems like that this model that we live in brings us to places and consequence in life. Time passes, space and opportunity is there, the time passes through, and then there's consequence. We find ourselves in these places. But what if? What if time could be bent? What if space could be bent or adjusted? What if time didn't do what we thought it was supposed to do? What if the space and the opportunity could somehow be bent to look different? Are you still with me? What if when we thought we were going to end up over here, we actually found out that the consequence of what happened in this time, in this space, actually we were somewhere very different than what we thought? What if there was more going on than what we can see? What if there were, for the math students, dimensions outside of this time-space model? What if there were a lot of them that could influence this in a way that consequences and outcomes and what happens in our lives, in the things that we see with our eyes, what if actually there was so much more going on that the end result of it all produced a very different result than what we thought it was going to?
Wow, what possibilities that would afford.
Well, this isn't intended to be a physics class, and it's certainly not science fiction. But there is one today. There is one today that lives and operates outside of what we can see with our eyes. There is one that actually is the one that created time and space. And he's the master of it. There's one that resides somewhere over here outside of time and outside of space. And he looks down upon it and he sees things we don't see. He understands what I don't understand. And time and space are subject to God. See, the one that I'm talking about this morning is God the Father. It's Jesus. And he can make change where we can't make change. We can live our lives and we feel like that here's where I ended up. This is my situation. This is the consequence. There's no other way. And the Lord comes along and he says, actually, you're down here. And we look at that and we say, well, wait, you can do that? And he says, yeah, I can do that. I'm God. I live over here. And this is subject to me. Time, space, opportunity, consequence is subject to me. And I can do that. And what hope that should afford us in life. Consider, Jesus was 4 days late, it seemed, to get to Lazarus, and he died. But he wasn't late after all. He got there when it was time for him to get there, and Lazarus lived. The disciples that were on the boat that looked like it was going to sink. Listen, Jesus spoke peace to the storm. He did not need time and space for a different weather front to come in and change what was going on out there. He didn't need that time. He didn't need that space. The Lord just spoke it and moved the storm from here to somewhere else, spoke it into existence. The scripture says that David hid in the desert, in the high places, and Saul was hot after him with all the resources that Saul had. And it says, I believe these are the words in Samuel, but God. But God didn't allow David to be taken by Saul. But Lazarus didn't die because, well, but nevertheless, it looked like he was, but God. It looked like that the boat was going to sink. It didn't look like there was any way out of it. There wasn't time, it seemed like, or space. It looked like it was nearing the end. But God spoke peace. There was a lady at the well, the woman that came to the well. And it looked like that the consequence of her actions were pretty final. In a lot of ways, she couldn't undo them. There was an adulterous woman that the Pharisees brought before the Lord. And there was a law, and there was a consequence, and there she was, and there was her background, and many others. Including me and including you. that we're not in good places, and it seemed like the consequence associated with how time passed and the opportunities and the space that was used brought us to a certain point. But God, however, nevertheless, God, before Abraham was, this scripture said, I am. Not, God is not affected by time and space and opportunity and consequence like we are. He's out here looking, and he can work within it, and he can work without it. And he is a God that says, if you'll let me, I'll live within you. And I'll lead you in life, and I'll help you in life. And there's going to be some things that you can see in the time and space model that I've put you. And there's going to be some things that you don't see and you don't comprehend. And you need to trust me. You need to have faith in me. That when you don't understand, and when life looks like is taking you to places that are the worst possible place to be, you need to trust me that I'm in control, and that I care, and that I love you, and that I have an expected end for you. This thief that was secured to a cross of death with no opportunity, it seemed, for anything good to come from it. But God, but Jesus, did something that none of this could help him with, because there was no more time and no more space between him and the cross of death. The consequence seemed fixed. But God said, that's not my will. And I have a way out for you. And he spoke to the thief on the cross of a different time, a different day, a day in paradise where this goes away. A day undeserved, a day that we can't earn, and yet so very real. Brothers and sisters, today, we live in a life and in a world where I feel like that often we find ourselves in those places where we believe that the opportunity for good is past. And we can be ready to say that it doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter anymore. This place in my life, well, time has passed. Opportunity has passed. Space has been consumed by these things, and this is where I am now. And it doesn't matter anymore. You ever felt that way? Kind of like the one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, when the man's daughter was sick and came to Jesus to get some help. And as he was seeking Jesus, it said that there was one that came and said, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's too late. Opportunity's gone. Time is up. And folks, this morning, I'm speaking of and am inspired with the whole of our lives. Not just a piece of our life, but the whole of our lives, where we live life, and and we come face to face with the weaknesses in our own lives. We come to face to face with failures in our life. We come face to face with these places of our lives, seasons of our lives, blocks of our lives, rooms in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds, where we look at it and we say, there's no more time or opportunity for anything good to come of this. And we can feel hopelessness and we can feel dismay. I'm speaking this morning of not only our lives, but the lives of our loved ones, where we look and we see things and conditions and what appears to be consequences. And we look at it and we think that it's final and that it's the end and that the picture that we see is complete. It's a color picture that represents completeness. But I want to tell you this morning that in the fear of God, we don't see things completely. We are only able to see in part. But now we know in part. Right now we can only see in part. Right now we only see through a glass darkly. We look at these things and sometimes they seem crystal clear to us, but it's only because our eyes have not been opened to a power and a realm that's outside of us. And so we look and we evaluate in our own lives and in the lives of others what we can see. And when it doesn't look good, we can start to feel like the thief did on that cross in some ways, attached to something that was going to bring an end with no space or time in between. And I bring you this message this morning. What good can come out of Nazareth? Wasn't it Nathaniel that said that? What good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come out of this? I want to tell you this morning what good can come out of Nazareth. I want to tell you this morning what good can come out of those places that you look at and you say it's wasted time. It was lost time, lost opportunity. There's nothing there. Jesus came out of Nazareth. And this morning, Jesus is asking us to give our lives and our hearts and our minds to Him and to trust Him. To trust Him completely with the time and the space and the opportunity and the seeming consequence that comes out of our lives and the lives of those that are around us that we care about. The Lord says, give that to me. Trust me with that. It's not that the Lord orchestrates evil and bad and some untimely tragedies. It's not that the Lord made all of those things happen always, but He can orchestrate incredible good from all things. And He doesn't have to turn back the clock, where I look at the clock and I see the big hand go counterclockwise. He doesn't have to raise the dead, where I see somebody in the grave and then come back up. He can. He's done those things. But He is a God that just is able to work in ways that we can't comprehend, and that we don't understand and that we don't see. And so He says, trust. And if we will, there will come a time where indeed we can look over the past and beheld how his wide arms of mercy held us. And where we too will say, as it says in the 7th chapter of Mark, the 37th verse, he hath done all things well. Yes, we'll face trouble in life. And there are consequences to things that we do. I'm not saying that there's not. And sometimes there are circumstances of life that for sure cause us to feel emptied. But never forget those two words, but God. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He does dwell out here with powers and ability and ways that are above our ways. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him in the time and the space and the opportunities that we have. And sometimes when we get to the end and we feel like, I can't do that over, so all is lost, I can take this consequence that I can't do anything seemingly about now and give it to God and let the great God that is above all of this and outside of this take what appears to be so final and turn it for good. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things that I can't see in the time-space model. And so the Lord invites us to come and trust His power and trust His ability and believe in His love and know that He's not limited by things that we're limited by. This morning, perhaps there's somebody here that feels like Nathaniel in some area of your life. And you say, what good can come out of this? Know that God is still God. He's still God. And He is a God that works things together for our good. And the Scripture says that, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. The more that we understand that God is love, and that He is a power that is greater than what we can see and understand, the easier it is that we can put our trust in Him. Lord, this morning help us to see what You want us to see. Lord, help us to have a vision of what You want us to have a vision of. And Lord, help us to trust You in those things that we cannot see. Thank You, Lord, for the hope and the power in those words. But